Aww.
Okay, Jesus will come at the end, longing. When he comes back in his cloud, with who following him? All the armies of heaven, right? The armies of heaven that are being groomed to be soldiers now on earth, aren't we? We are the army of heaven now, aren't we? We have to fight the battle. Okay, so as he comes back, what will he do? Okay, he's going to slay the beast, isn't he? The beast and the false prophet are going to be slain, and they're going to be thrown, well, it says he's going to kill them, but they're also going to be thrown alive into the lake of fire. So their ultimate end is the lake of fire, and who will eventually join them in 1,000 years? Okay, Satan himself will eventually join them, along with all those who followed after him all these years as he deceived the whole world. Okay.
Diana? Mm-hmm. Can we know when Babylon is still alive in this scenario? Is she married now at this point when the abomination of desolation happens? Is Babylon still alive and well?
I think so. I think we don't see her destroyed until the seventh bowl, right? I think it's when the seventh bowl is poured out here somewhere, Babylon will be destroyed. I think Babylon will have. I think Babylon will be allowed to have its full sway until, because she'll be connected to who?
Satan.
Okay, she'll be connected to the beast.
That evil would continue until he comes back, you know.
And it's like the Lord lets all wickedness have its fullness, and then he whacks.
Right.
The mark of the beast is kind of interesting too, because we're always reading about the chips being put in the hands, and I hear people saying, is this the mark, is this the mark? But that doesn't come, I mean, it's maybe the technology or whatever, but it's not time for it yet, you know. So I think that's important to remember, that this could be a, things like this could be precursors to it.
But we don't really know. We don't know, we have no idea.
Hopefully we won't see that.
Yeah, well. I don't think we will.
The act of worship to the beast.
No. Yeah. Okay, so this week we're going to look at Babylon, and I want to look at it and really observe. We're going to observe what the scripture says in chapter 17 and chapter 18, and even a little tiny piece of chapter 19 gives us another little hint. But I want to just, does everybody remember that's brunch next week, right?
Right.
Okay.
We don't forget the food.
It's always so good. Okay, and what I want to do is just break it down verse by verse and look, and we're going to list. I want you to list on your paper if you miss any, just make a list. Make a new list. You got your chart, but just list everything that it says about Babylon, because to me this is always the big mystery. I think for a lot of us it is, because I know Wayne will take a whole different approach on this, but I really believe it's something that has to be here now, because to occupy two whole chapters of the book of Revelation, it's the end, it's the big final God's victory over this entity. And for all the damage that it does, and all the influence that it has, and all of the sway that it has with the, as we see, the rulers, the merchants, the people, it has to be something that's been building over the years. It can't be, I don't think, something that's going to pop up the last 7 years. I think it's something that's going to be here, and we need to recognize what it is, because it says in chapter 18 that we are to do what? What are we to do? Okay, we are to come out of her. We are to come out of her, lest we share in her curses. So I think it's something we need to have wisdom about and to recognize how we see it in our world today. And so I just want us to list, and we're not going to make any conclusions. We're just going to list everything. And then after you study next week on the Old Testament and what it says about Babylon, then hopefully we can get some good conclusions of what it might be. Okay, so chapter 17, get your observation worksheets out. It says, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I will show you the judgment of who?
The great
great harlot.
Okay, the great harlot who does what?
Sits on many waters.
Okay, the great harlot, first of all, not just any old one, right? She is the great harlot who sits on many waters. And we're going to see later on what those waters are. She sits on many waters. And then in verse 2 it says, not only does she sit over many waters, but with whom the kings of the earth committed what? Okay, the kings of the earth. So we know that she's influential with the rulers, isn't she? So the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality with her. So we have the kings of the earth. I'm not going to write it all up there. You can write it on your paper. But they are very important. They commit acts of immorality with her. And those who what?
Dwell on the earth.
So who are those people? Okay, the earth dwellers, right? The earth dwellers are what?
Drunk.
Okay. The earth dwellers are drunk. What is that picture does that give you?
Out of control.
Yeah. Yeah, they're absolutely out of control. They are satiated with the wine of her immorality. So they have drunk of her immorality and they are just out of control.
But they're under her control.
Yes.
It's her control.
Yes.
Under,
yes. No, but it's because of her immorality and all they've gotten to drink of because of her. Okay, so that gives us a pretty good picture right away, doesn't it? What kind of a person or whatever we're talking about here. And he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw what? Okay. The woman, here we go, and she is sitting on a scarlet beast. What does the fact that she's sitting on the beast indicate?
She's in control.
She's in control. In some way, she's in control. It's like a horse. If you have a rider, the rider is in control, isn't he?
But it also facilitates her.
Yes, it's carrying her along, but she's in control. Mm-hmm. Okay, so she's sitting on the scarlet beast, and we see that the beast is what? Okay, full of blasphemous names. So who do we recognize him to be? Okay, the Antichrist, the one who was to come, right? The prince who was to come, who has 7 heads and 10 horns. Now the woman was what? Okay. Clothed in scarlet and purple. These are very fine fabrics, aren't they? You know, Lydia was a seller of purple, and it was a very fine, elegant fabric. Okay, she's clothed in scarlet and purple and adorned with what? Okay, gold. Did it say silver to you? Gold and precious stones. Okay. Precious stones and pearls. You get the picture. She is really decked out in all these extravagantly rich and wealthy things. The purple and the scarlet, the gold, the precious stones and pearls. And what does she have in her hand? Okay, she's holding that gold cup or the chalice. And it's full of abominations. Isn't she lovely? And of the unclean things of her immorality. So the cup is full of this, of abominations and the unclean things of her immorality. And then on her forehead, here we go, the name. What was the name that's written on her forehead?
Babylon the Great.
Okay. It's Babylon the Great, but it says it's a mystery, isn't it?
Yes.
And some will say it's mystery Babylon, but it's a mystery. Mystery Babylon, the Great. And the fact that it's a mystery, it seems to me that this is where we look for our key, because it's not just Babylon the Great. Because if it was just Babylon the Great, what might we, what were our mind maybe go to?
Geographic.
Okay, the actual geographical location. But this is a mystery. This is something that's a mystery. Yeah.
She's also described as mother of harlots, which implies she has an origin from somewhere.
She has originated. She is the mother.
She is the origin.
Yeah. Okay, so she's not only Babylon the Great, but she's right. The mother of harlots. And what? The abominations of the earth. Yes, and the fact that she is the mother shows that where did all these things originate? On the earth. From her, right? Okay. And I saw the woman drunk with what?
Blood of the saints.
Just like we saw the people drunk with the immorality, she is drunk with the blood of the saints. So as she's drunk with them, she is satiated with the blood. She can't get enough of it. It's just what she wants is that blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. And when he saw her, he wondered greatly. And the angel said to me, "Why do you wonder? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns." So the beast, she's carried by the beast, right? Okay, the beast that you saw was and is not, and it's about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction. And those who dwell on the earth, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, and we saw this before, will wonder when they see the beast that he was and he is not, and he will come. And remember, we talk about the beast and his kingdom go together, and we think about the kingdom that he comes from. What kingdom does this beast come from?
Satan,
but what, you think about the statue.
The world system.
Okay, but it's from that revived Roman Empire, right? Because the Roman Empire was, and then it wasn't, and then it's going to come back again. And he's going to be the ruler of this, and everyone's going to be amazed about this. Here's the mind that has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. So the 7 heads are 7 mountains. So the woman does sit on 7 mountains. And they are also, what? 7 kings. 5 have fallen, and so we know that at the time of John, when John wrote this, that the first 5 kings have fallen. Then one is, what was the kingdom that was at that time? Okay, it was Rome, right? And the other has not yet come, the revived Roman Empire hadn't come. And when he comes, he must remain a little while. Now the beast which was and is not is himself also an 8th, and 1 of the 7, he comes up out of the 7, so he's the 8th, but he goes to destruction. Remember we saw in our timeline, there's going to come a time when it's going to be destroyed, right? Now, the 10 horns, which you saw, are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom. Remember the toes down there, the 10 kings? But they receive authority as kings with the beast. And they come, when that revived Roman Empire comes up, they will be with the beast, they'll have authority with him for how long? Okay, so a short amount of time that they'll actually have any authority, right? Now these 10 kings have one purpose. And what is their one purpose? To give their power and authority to the beast. It says these will wage war against who? The Lamb. And the Lamb will overcome them because he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And those who are with him are the called and the chosen and the faithful. So in the end, he's going to win. But then he says, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are what? Okay. It's peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So how great is her influence? Okay, it is worldwide, it is huge. She's permeated into every culture. This harlot has permeated into every culture, into every kingdom. As she messes around with the kings of the earth, she has got a worldwide web of authority and corruption and influence. Okay. And the 10 horns which you saw and the beast, they're going to eventually do what? They're going to hate her. They're going to hate her. They're going to be done with her. They're going to hate her. And they're going to make her what? Okay. Just like you would assume. You think about, and we looked at Jeremiah and all, and talked about, well, who was the harlot in Jeremiah and Isaiah and all the and those books? Who would have been the harlot?
Israel.
Could have been Israel. Because of what? Idolatry. So that kind of gives you a little hint as to what this woman is involved with, this harlot. It's because of her idolatry. Okay. And they make her desolate and naked, and they'll eat her flesh and burn her up with fire. For God has put it into their hearts, whose hearts?
Kings.
Okay, these kings, to execute whose purpose?
His.
Okay, his purpose by having, for them having a what? Okay, a common purpose. They're together. They're going to hate this harlot, and God has put that in their heart to give them this common person so they can do what he wants to have done, right? And by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of the God, of God will be fulfilled. And so these kings are there for God's purposes, aren't they? Who's in control of all of this? God is in control, and it's really important for us to remember that. Even as we look and see what's going on in our world today, remember that God is the one in control. That all this is going on, because it's not going to come out of nowhere, is it? No, the world is being prepared for this. It's not coming out of nowhere, but God is in control, and in the end, he will judge. Now he says, the woman whom you saw, in case you're wondering, this is the mystery. The woman whom you saw is who?
The great city.
Okay, which does what? Okay. She is the great city. This is important. It shouldn't be at the bottom here. But she is the great city. Yes. She reigns over the kings of the earth.
Homework on the chart on page 60, midway down, what takes place within her? Page 60.
Is that the long chart?
Yes, it looks like this. It's comparing Babylon of Revelation 17 and 18. Are they same or different? The question is, what takes place within her? I didn't know how to answer that.
Well, I think we can basically say abominations and immorality at this point.
The blood of the saints.
Oh, yeah. We're going to see a lot more when we look at the next chapter for sure. So she is a city, isn't she? This harlot, this whore of Babylon, is a city. It is the great city. And this city has authority, reigns over the kings of the earth. And so is in reigning over the kings of the earth, what does she really reign over?
The earth.
Okay. All the people that have, that are under all these kings. But she has great, great authority. You see the people, the multitudes, nations, and tongues. She has great sway over this world.
And the confusing thing is they told us a lot of what's going to happen in chapter 17. And you get kind of mixed up when you leave it, but it's good to see she's still a great city. She's still reigning at this point in chapter 17 over all the earth, even though they've told us what's going to happen. I get lost in all of that. Mm-hmm.
So if she's reigning, as John looks at this, and we know that her destruction is going to be told, and it comes at the end of the 7 years, we know that she has to be in existence, right? Because she could not possibly amass this horrific influence and this horrific judgment in that amount of time. And we're going to see what else she contains, and it goes back all the way, right? Okay, after these things, so after John saw this, he saw the city.
Are we to assume this is the city of Babylon, or the one world government power that we think of as Babylon?
I think we're going to see, hopefully we'll see next week what it is.
Okay.
But we know it's not, I honestly don't believe it is geographical Babylon.
It's the control of the power.
What was known as Babylon back in Bible days?
Persia. Iraq. Well, anybody that's against the power of God wouldn't be, or anybody who would be against. That would be powerful. It would be a system that was wrong. It could be any system.
Yeah. Let's look up. Look up. Look up 1 Peter 5:3. 5:13, excuse me. 1 Peter 5:13. To give you just a hint, so we're not going to discuss it.
The church is at Babylon.
Okay. Read the verse.
This King James, the church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, salutes you, and so does Marcus, my son.
Okay.
So is that Rome?
That's Rome. And if you were to read Josephus or any of the writers at that time, Rome was referred to as Babylon. Okay. Just keep that in the corner of your mind. All right. Okay, let's look at chapter 18. I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become what?
Dwelling place of demons."
Okay. She's a dwelling place of demons. And what? A prison of what?
Every unclean spirit.
Every unclean spirit and what?
Unclean, hateful.
Yeah, and the birds too. The hateful, unclean birds. What kind of birds are those?
Vultures.
Yeah, the carnivorous birds, right? They come and eat the stuff at the side of the road. And
really, I was thinking about that. Hateful bird. And then kept listening and looked up. Is it Matthew 24:28, where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather.
Someone said it's also starlings last night. We don't like the starlings. But all those birds that come and eat the flesh, right? They're all imprisoned in Babylon. For what? What does it say? Okay, once again, all of the nations. Again, her worldwide influence. Have drunk of her what?
Passion of
her immorality. All the nations have drunk of the passion of her immorality. And it says, what next? Okay, the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her. Once again, looking at those rulers. What kind of influence does she have? Kings of the earth have committed immorality with her, and not only them, not only the nations, the kings, and then who else has benefited from her?
Merchants.
Okay, the merchants of the earth have become wealthy. They have great benefit from her. Okay, they have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. So we see the system, the web that she has woven, don't we? The nations drinking of her immorality, the kings committing acts of immorality, the merchants of the earth becoming rich by the wealth of her sensuality. So all these things that we saw her, her wealthy clothing, all the gold that she's amassed, and the silver and the jewels and everything, they're all wealthy because of her. They buy, you know, she buys their stuff. Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, what?
Come out of her, my people.
Okay, come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. So as she's influential throughout the whole earth, is it possible to come out of that?
Yes,
and we're told to be, I think the hidden message here is pay attention to what you're seeing here, be wise, and flee from this. Come out of her. You don't want to be a part of this. Because if you do, you're going to receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled, how high? Okay.
High as heaven.
Which takes us back to what? That's right. Sins have piled up to heaven. Up to heaven. Remember, they wanted to build their tower up to heaven. They're going to get escape from that flood. It was never going to happen to them again. And they were going to, they're rebelling against God. They're going to pile up a spot as hard as heaven. And their sins have gone up. And says God has remembered her iniquities. Had God forgotten her iniquities?
No.
Okay.
I just want to make clear, is this, when it says come out of her, my people, is that solely the Jews or is it any believer?
I think it's anybody that has allegiance to him, you have no allegiance to Babylon. You need to get out of it. I think it's a choice. You know, you have one or the other. You can't do both.
So when we're talking about the Tower of Babylon, we're not talking about the city either. We're talking about this new...
As far as the sins piling up high? Yeah, we're going to look at that next week. I think we look at Nimrod and all of that, which is a very small story, but it's a very big story.
Okay. It's just kind of interesting to note that we were talking about the one world government, which that's kind of what they had back at the time of Babel,
mm-hmm.
where they all spoke the same language, mm-hmm. and they were united in their
mm-hmm.
evil.
Absolutely.
And able to help create so much evil, and it is going to happen again.
Yeah. This is what the big push is, isn't it? Break down all the barriers, bring that one world government in. They're paving the way for this one to come. Okay, your sin is piled high. God has remembered, and not that he's forgotten, but now is the time, right? Their fullness, their iniquity is full. He has remembered her iniquity, and he says, pay her back, even as what? Okay, so what you reap, you sow, right? He says, pay her back, even as she is paid, and give back to her what? Okay, double it up. Double according to her deeds in the cup which she has mixed. You mix what?
Twice
as much for her. So her judgment, this has got to be a very, very important evil in the world to receive this judgment from God. This is something very significant. Just think about it. Two whole chapters on this. Two whole chapters. So mix twice what she has mixed. To the degree that she did what?
Glorified herself.
Okay, glorified herself and lived sensuously. So she was what? What was she? Arrogant, right?
Arrogant.
Think of that. Arrogant pride. Yeah. I can't spell today. No. Just, you know, arrogant pride and sensual living. Okay, she's so arrogant and she has so lived sensuously. And, you know, think of all the wealth that she has. Who has she kept it for?
Herself,
right? This is something she has kept for herself. To the same degree, give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, and this takes you back to Edom, doesn't it? How they sat there and they said, no one can bring me down. I sit as a queen, and I am not a widow, and will never see mourning. She thinks no one can ever hurt her, no one can bring her down. But I think even the fact that she sees herself as a queen who will never see mourning is something we'll look at. It's important, I think. I haven't really thought about it until right now, but never see mourning. Can we look at Babel? At Babel, we'll see something about that as we think about that more. So never see mourning. Okay.
Does that go, the never see mourning go with being a widow?
I think so. But she's not a widow. So she's not a widow.
She's not a widow. So
but
she
she's the queen of she's the queen of heaven, and but she's not a widow. And we go back and look, which you might dig a little bit farther into the religions that come out of Babel, you know, that came out of there, and that really fits in with that.
Is it a counterfeit, like we are the bride of Christ, the church is the bride of Christ, and she is
Bride of Satan.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? You see the two women kind of juxtaposed against each other, because you have the church is the bride of Christ, Israel is the wife of Jehovah, and we have this totally immoral one who has all this influence, and we know where she gets her power from. Where does she get her power from?
Satan.
Okay, from Satan, right?
She really is setting herself up as a goddess.
Yes, for sure.
And those religions are all fertility.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, but when we talk about this next week, we'll see how everything sprung from Babel. All of the religious, occultic, false religions all came from there. Okay, so she'll never see morning. For this reason, how quickly will this happen? Okay, in one day, her plagues will come. Pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be what? Burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. God is strong. You know, we see her as being the great city, the strong city, but who's stronger? God. Just like we saw the fight with Michael and his angels and Satan and his angels, and Satan and his angels were cast out because they weren't what? They weren't strong enough. So we should have comfort, Beth, that we worship the strong God. He is our God, and we can trust him. Okay, the God who judges her is strong, and the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her, what are they going to do when they see her go down? Yeah, they're going to weep and they're going to lament, right? We hear that word around here a lot. Lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning. Now, are they going to go up close and check it out personally? I love this. They're going to stand at a distance, aren't they? They're standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment. So what are they afraid of? They get too close. What are they afraid of?
They're going to burn them.
Yeah, they're going to get swept up because they know who participated in all her evil. They did. They're the participants. And they're saying, whoa, whoa, the great city, Babylon, the strong city. How can they say she's strong at this point? What's just happened to her? Okay, she's burning up, right? She's no longer strong, obviously. She has been judged. In 1 hour, your judgment has come. So they're going to lament over her. And the merchants of the earth, remember, they're the ones that got wealthy off of her. What are they going to do? Yeah, they're weeping and mourning over her as well, because why? No one will buy her cargo, their cargoes anymore, because who bought them? She did, and the kings of the earth that messed around with her, they bought all this stuff from her, from the merchants, and it tells you what, and by looking at what things that she has bought, you know what she is, because she has bought from these merchants cargoes of gold, and silver, and precious stones, and pearls, and fine linen, and purple, and silk, and scarlet, and we saw that on what she was wearing, and every kind of citron wood, so apparently building material, and every kind of article of ivory, and every article made from very costly wood. I mean, this wasn't just the cheap stuff. This is the very expensive stuff, and bronze, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and spice, and incense, and perfume, and frankincense, and wine, and olive oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and cattle, and sheep, and cargoes of horses, and chariots, and slaves, and human lives. So what does she traffic in, ultimately?
Lives.
People. They are human traffickers. She's a human trafficker.
That's what
which
we see going on right
today. And slaves. And who is in charge of all of this stuff? This woman, right? This city. Okay. The fruit you long for is gone from you, and all the things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them. So it's going to come an end to all this, isn't there? The merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city, She who was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such great wealth has been laid waste. So what are they mourning over, really?
Life as they knew it,
and all that wealth that's just burned up, all that gold, all that silver, all that marble, all that everything wonderful, it's all gone. It's all burned up in it, and she's destroyed. let's see. 1 hour she has been. Okay, they threw dust on their heads, crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city." They keep saying the great city. It's the great city. It's the great city. But who is greater? God is greater, right? For in 1 hour she has been laid waste. So you get the picture of absolute, total, complete destruction. Nothing left. That's the picture. This is what he's seeing. They threw dust on their heads. Okay, and then verse 20 gives an encouraging word, doesn't it? It says, rejoice over her who? Yeah, rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for who? For you, against her. So we know that she has got to be, have been in existence when we have the prophets and the apostles, the saints, because something that she's done to them has brought judgment against her.
Which should satisfy those under the altar.
Which will satisfy those under the altar as well, right? Then a strong angel took up the stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. And to make, you know, to kind of zoom in on it, it says, the sound of harpists and musicians and flute players and trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer. And no craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer. And the sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer. And the light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will not be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. So all the nations were what?
Deceived.
By her sorcery.
The Greek for sorcery is pharmakeia, so it involves drugs.
Drugs, yeah. You think about, you know, the unclean spirit, the demons, the unclean spirits, all of this. It all goes and points back to what? Idol worship, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He really be Satan worship because he's behind all of that.
Oh, in her.
So all the nations are deceived by her sorcery. And in her, in Babylon, in this mystery woman, is found the blood of who?
Prophets and saints.
And?
All who have been slain on the earth.
So her influence is wide, that she gets the credit for not only the blood of the prophets and the saints, but the blood of all who have been slain on the earth go back in some way to this mystery Babylon. She is full of blood. And now she's paying for it, right?
Sorry, is that for like all of time, or is that for this?
Yes. I think it has to be for all the time. Because this is a big judgment, and this is a lot of verses for one subject. It has to be something that is, it's worldwide, the influence is over everyone, all the earth dwellers, all the kings of the earth have partied with her. It goes, it's huge. It's a huge, huge, huge thing. Right. And down through the ages, because all the blood of the prophets and saints are found in her. And if we looked at chapter 19, just gives us one more. It just says that she corrupted the earth with her immorality. So she has been the one who has corrupted the earth. You think how corrupt things are now, right? This is, all comes out of the same source. The corruption comes from her. So she has corrupted the whole earth. Her
immorality. So we see that her scope and her influence is great. It is great. Absolutely unmeasurable. But what will happen to her in the end? Yeah, she will be completely destroyed. She will be completely destroyed, obliterated, never to rise again. And so we know that as the bowls are pulled up, poured out, and she gets the last bowl of judgment, that the enemy is now gone, right?
It's kind of like when you say Damascus will be a ruinous heap. It's like that's when the earth will be. Yeah.
Well, she's going to be gone. Okay, now what did you see about, we're supposed to look up the verses about Jerusalem in case you got confused over what the great city was, because what other city is also called the great city? Okay, Jerusalem is also a great city. Now, Jerusalem, if we think about Jerusalem, Jerusalem is what kind of a city? What does it symbolize? What does it stand for, I should say? Even today, when people think of Jerusalem, what is it?
Jewish nation.
It's a holy city. It's a city that has to do with worship, isn't it? Jerusalem. It's important to remember because as we look at this one, what does she have to do with?
Unworship.
Well,
idol worship.
So we have God over here, true God worship, and over here we have the city, and she is another religious city, a prominent religious city, but she has to do with idol worship, demons, unclean things. But they're both a similar type of city. All right. So we saw in Jerusalem. What did you see about Jerusalem? When did we see her talked about in Revelation? Okay, she's going to be trodden underfoot by who?
The nations.
Okay, by the nations for 42 months. And where does that fall on the little timeline that's kind of there, not anymore, but
the last half,
right? She's going to be trod underfoot by the nations for 42 months. Now, what does she, we see her talked about them and the two witnesses pop up and we see their ministry and then they die. And what does it say about the city there?
It's mystically called Sodom and Egypt.
Okay, it's mystically. Is that the real name? If you looked on the map, would you see it called Sodom and Egypt? No, it's mystically called Sodom and Egypt. Why is it mystically called Sodom and Egypt?
Sodom had idols in Egypt.
Okay, in Egypt, what did they bring out of Egypt with them when they came?
Idols.
All the idols, right? So, and then we know, as we looked at Kings and Chronicles and those books a long time ago now, we can see on the chart if you haven't read this, that they even set the idols up in the temple of God, didn't they? I mean, they got so bad, they even set their idols up. And we saw when in Ezekiel, when the glory was leaving, how the Lord took Ezekiel in so he could see what was going on. They were worshiping the idols in the temple, and they had their back to the temple of God, and they're worshiping the sun. So they all this came with them out of Egypt, and Sodom is just like the lowest of the low. It's also where their Lord was crucified. So it gives you, in case you think he's talking about Sodom or talking about Egypt, he's talking about what?
Jerusalem.
Because it isn't interesting, he doesn't say it's also the city of the great king. He says what happened there? Okay, the worst thing that ever happened there was the King of Glory came, and what did they do? They crucified him. And so this is what happens when you become like Sodom and you become like Egypt, you do these things. And so it is Jerusalem, so we all know that's where Jesus was killed.
The Sodom kind of, what, puts forth sensuality. And
yes,
kind of sensuality.
Oh yes, right, absolutely, yeah. Okay, so it's called the two witnesses. Okay, then when the two witnesses resurrected, what happened to the city?
Earthquake.
Well, before they were raised up, it was that wonderful time of partying gave them a little break in the misery, I guess. The great earthquake hit the city, and what happened?
7,000 killed.
Okay, a tenth of the
city
fell. 7,000 people were killed. Now, where's the wine press of the wrath of God going to be tread?
Outside
the city. Unclean things were happened outside the city, and the wine press will be trodden. When the earth is reaped, it will be trodden outside the city of Jerusalem. And then after 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth, what's going to happen to Jerusalem?
It'll be surrounded by God.
Who's going to be let loose?
Satan.
Okay, Satan's going to be let loose, and his job, once again, will be to
deceive.
Which, you know, when we think about him being the deceiver, we see that, you know, this is one characteristic of the woman. She deceives all the nations. So it gives you an idea who she's connected, fueled by, right? Okay. So they're going to come. He's going to deceive as many as will follow him. And how many are going to surround the beloved city, which is Jerusalem, right? Like the sand of the seashore, remember? That many are going to be deceived. And what's going to happen to them, of course? Yeah, because God will defend his city. So he's going to be a wall of fire around her in Zechariah. So I think it's going to, the wall of fire will hold. Walls do work. Okay. All right. So next week you're going to look into the Old Testament prophecies about Babylon and Babel, and we're going to see what we can put together. There's a book I would recommend, which I've been trying to plow through. It's very large, but it's very good. It's called The Woman Rides the Beast. It's Dave Hunt.
Oh, yeah. There's also another old one called Mystery Babylon by Alexander Hislop.
Okay, just one second. Mystery Babylon?
Mm-hmm. It's a really old book. I don't know if you can still get it. Did you get it?
I got it on Amazon, yeah.
And it's
Alexander Hislop, H-Y-S-L-O-P, Hislop.
H-Y.
Is it H-Y or H-I?
It's
H-I. But I'll try to bring it.
Yeah. H-I. Diana, I have this one, The Rise of Babylon by Charles Dyer. This is one we used when I took it before, but it's old.
It's old, and I think some of his conclusions are not right. Yeah. Okay. So this is good background reading, and you know, it might help us, even after we're done with this subject, to continue to read. Because I think this is really a biggie. I think Babylon is really a biggie because it's what we are encountering in our world today, really. And we need to be wise and see it, because what's the call to us? To come out of it. We need to come out of her. So with that, we will stop and have time in your small groups to discuss this. If you have any questions you've been pondering and you didn't get an answer, talk about your small group. We've got great small group leaders, and you know, the wisdom as we all study together, we can get some answers maybe.